I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, broadcasting from the Mack Hike of Flowood Studios. Thanks for joining me today. Today's Wednesday. Next hour, as every Wednesday, we will get into hump day health, natural health news you can use. I saw a headline. I thought to myself, self, your radio show is having an impact. There's quite a statistic coming out of the state of Mississippi when it comes to health-related things. And then the next headline, I said, oh, no, you're not having any impact whatsoever. So we'll take a look at a couple of health trends here. And then I'm going to tell you a sad story. Sad story about an elderly man getting a cup of coffee. Is that not the most compelling teaser you've ever heard to make you stay here on the radio dial with WYAB for the next hour? Anyway, next hour, Hump Day Health, my most positive and productive segment of the week. Lots to get to today. We're going to get to in the second half of this hour. There's a big announcement last night of a Democrat strategy called Operation Checkmate, and I don't think anybody is paying attention to this. Most people are unaware of it, but it is a devious plan to take down the United States, so you might want to understand it. Called Operation Checkmate. Yeah, you should be concerned right there with a name like that. So we're going to get into that today. Make sure you stick around on that. Quotes of the day today. I'm going to fall back on some of my favorite and most relevant quotes of the day. Not for any particular reason, of course. It just feels like they are relevant today. Occasionally, I find some of my favorites, and I space them out, but here we go. Confucius. Confucius said, men of principle are always bold, but those who are bold are not always men of principle. That's Confucius. Now, here's one that I live by. Marcus Aurelius, he's known to be one of the fathers of Stoicism. He's a Stoic. Marcus Aurelius said, the object of life is not to be on the side of the majority, but to escape finding oneself in the ranks of the insane. The object of life is not to be on the side of the majority, but to escape finding oneself in the ranks of the insane. This is one that I live by. Never one to really care whether or not I share a majority opinion or not. I'm just trying to avoid the insanity that seems to be gripping our country and much of the world. And then there's this one. Feels a little relevant today. I can't put my finger on exactly why, but feels a little relevant today. It's one of my favorite quotes of all time. It's from Carl Sagan. And Carl Sagan said, quote, one of the saddest lessons of history is this. If we've been bamboozled long enough, we tend to reject any evidence of the bamboozle. We're no longer interested in finding out the truth. The bamboozle has captured us. It's simply too painful to acknowledge, even to ourselves, that we've been taken. Once you give a charlatan power over you, you almost never get it back. Carl Sagan. Who would have guessed? I wouldn't have picked Carl Sagan to be such a sage, so wise. But one of my favorite quotes of all times. I love looking at the website MarketWatch. I do check it. It's a good place. You pull it up. You can see what the markets are doing. You can see what interest rates are doing. You can see what the crypto space is doing. So I pull it up for that. But one of my favorite features on MarketWatch, just gives me a chuckle each time, is people will post questions to them. It's almost like a financial Dear Abby on MarketWatch. Now, I saw a question there I wanted to answer myself. I didn't click through because I refused to subscribe to MarketWatch for $1 a month or whatever they're asking. There's just so much bad. It's really one of these sites. The financial world is just, I'm just not a fan. I'm not a CNBC watcher or a market watch. I want to get the information to know what's going on in the economy, but the slant, the Wall Street slant of market watch is just the same Wall Street slant as CNBC, so I'm not going to participate in it. But I do love the questions, and so I don't know how the market watch actually answered this financial Dear Abby question, but I'm going to answer it. Somebody had asked this question, quote, "He is financially secure and owns two homes. I finally met the man of my dreams. But he treated our waitress like dirt and tipped her 10%. Am I overreacting?" No, you're not. The guy is a sociopath, psychopath, self-absorbed narcissist. Run away. Run away. I think it was, who was it? There was somebody, it was a Hollywood person. He said, he always judged people by how they treated the server, because he knew that, you know, he was a famous guy. I don't know if it was Mike Tyson, Denzel. I can't remember who exactly it was that said this, but they said, "When I watch somebody treat a server badly, I know how they would treat me if I wasn't famous." That's essentially what they say. If you are with somebody who treats a food server or anybody in the service sector like dirt, run. I actually really mean that. As somebody who has spent a great deal of time in the restaurant industry and seen some of the worst behavior in people when it comes to servers, I've looked into the souls of these people. I've looked them in their eyes. Pure evil. Pure evil. I don't care how many homes he's got. He's not the man of your dreams. He will turn out to be the man of your nightmares. And a 10% tip, that should set off the alarm bells right there as well. This is part of a disturbing story that I'll cover next hour. Check this out. Nearly 90% of Gen Z respondents believe their generation is not set up for success, and 75% feel they are at a disadvantage in comparison to previous generations like baby boomers or Gen X, who are at least 42 years old in 2022. This latest poll portrays Gen Z as an overwhelmingly cynical about the post-pandemic world and what role they may one day play in it. Here's the thing. Boy, are they right. They are right. It's so sad. So sad what my generation, I do not escape blame here. I'm somebody who can pause and reflect and look at myself and accept responsibility. What the baby boomers and Gen Xers, my generation, have done, the mess we have left. 90% of Gen Z respondents believe their generation is not set up for success. You think? You think? Now, that's been quoted a lot recently. Hard times create great men create good times create weak men create bad times. We're in that thing. We have had weak men for quite a while, living in the comfort of streaming services and iPhones and constant sports ball, bread and circuses, and we have created bad times. And as I've been reporting on for the last almost 6 years, we've laid this at the feet of the next generations. And then we have the audacity to call them just whiners. But they're right. We have screwed them over by electing two parties that have looted this country. We had an amazingly quick rise. It's always astounding to me to think about the rapid rise of the United States to such level of success and prominence. And it's all based around freedom and liberty. That's what created it. And as we have stripped that away over the last 100 years, we are going to have a very rapid fall as well. And it is simply because the United States citizen has decided to be constantly tricked by sociopaths and their lust for power in both of the parties. This was interesting. This was on CNBC. Household debt soars. Household debt increased at the fastest pace in 15 years due to hefty increases in credit card usage and mortgage balances. The credit card balance collectively rose more than 15% from the same period in 2021. See, this is what's interesting to me. I've been telling you, and it's not just me. It's not like I'm... But I understand economics, and I understand that there's a different way of calculating inflation now than there was back in the 1880s. They keep making this comparison between now and the 80s, and I keep telling you that comparison is bogus. We calculate inflation differently. And the inflation rate is double what they tell us it is. And this is what shows you what the real inflation rate is. You hear this? The credit card balance collectively rose more than 15% from the same period in 2021. There's your number. People aren't buying more stuff. Stuff is 15% more expensive. There's your true inflation rate. This is the largest largest annual jump in more than 20 years, according to the New York Fed. Now, here's what I love. Now, the Federal Reserve, who is responsible for all of the inflation, for those who do not have their partisan blinders on, the Federal Reserve that prints up money, shoves it out into the economy, creates the inflation. This is what they say the problem is. They said the increase stems from, quote, a combination of robust consumer demand and higher prices. That is what a Fed official said. That's what it is. Americans are just so optimistic. And there's so much great stuff out there. We just have a real appetite for stuff. That's what it is. Everybody's so comfortable in reaching for more luxury in today's world. That's why credit card balances have soared the most in 20 years. And then there's this. I listened to an interview last night. If anybody's at all interested in economics, interested in where the economy is headed, and I know some people that's boring. I think if you really got down into it, I find it fascinating. Our economy is very complex, but it's good to have this knowledge. If nothing else, it's intellectually stimulating. It's probably good for the neuroplasticity of your brain to tackle a new subject. There is a YouTube channel called Wealthion. It's a guy named Adam Taggart, and he does fantastic interviews with all kinds of different people. He talked to somebody from the Fed that explained why we're not going to see any big crash. The Fed has got, air quotes here in the studio, tools to mitigate any problems from rising interest rates. I disagree with this guy, but it was interesting because I'm always wondering, what am I missing? What can the Fed, what rabbit can they pull out of the hat to duct tape and paperclip this economy together for a little bit longer? And so it was an interesting interview to listen to this guy who used to be a trader, actually with one of the Federal Reserve banks. But he does a lot of great interviews. He had a guy on yesterday, I think his name was Jim Bianco, that was explaining, if you want to understand what has taken place with the FTX, the cryptocurrency exchange implosion, bankruptcy, and apparent fraud, you should watch this interview on Wealthion with Jim Bianco. It was very interesting to actually get the details of what took place. One of the things that happened in this case, and this is going to result in the call to regulate cryptocurrency harder. Some of us suspect that may be the point all along, is that they are trying to denigrate cryptocurrencies and regulate them because they always have this to point to. Look at all the little people who got hurt here. The government needs to come in and protect you. Now, this is the same government who was in charge with all of their regulations and all of their offices and the SEC and the NASDAQ and everything else when you lost everything in WorldCom, when you lost everything in Enron, when you lost everything in the dot-com crash. Understand, these regulations that they tell you are going to protect you don't actually protect you. They are designed to serve industry to make it harder for new competitors to come into the space. Now, the cryptocurrencies right now, it's the Wild West. You definitely have a responsibility to do your due diligence. And I played some clips yesterday from the CEO of one of these FTX operations, Alameda Research. She was like, totally like, just giggling and like, and I mean, like, it's like your responsibility, like, to like, look up, like, who's running, like, the business, like. You know, you got to do your own due diligence. And anybody who heard this 28-year-old girl Valley girl her way through an interview, you should have been suspicious then. But they're going to try to regulate the crypto space, but they don't really have to, and I'm going to explain to you why. One of the things that led to this big collapse, what FTX did, and there's actually two branches. There's an FTX US, it's fully regulated, and there was an FTX Global. This was what was headquartered in the Bahamas. That's what experienced the trouble. This is where probably the fraud took place. But here's what they did that was so fascinating to me. FTX created their own token. I believe it was the FTT coin or FTT token. Maybe that's redundant. Maybe it's FT token. I don't know. Anyway, they created their own coin, basically out of nothing. This is how these cryptocurrencies have been created. People put out a white paper. They somehow, I'm no computer surgeon, so I don't understand how it happens, but they put out a coin and they just start collecting money for it. It's been the Wild West in cryptocurrency. So FTX did this. They just created a coin. And FTX, when Alameda Research needed some money, basically to cover huge losses that they had, this FTX exchange would just print up $5 million worth of this coin that they created, and they would transfer it to Alameda Research. And Alameda Research would then go to a bank and say, look, I've got $5 million of FT tokens here, FTT. We'd like a $5 million loan, and we're going to let our FTT tokens stand as collateral. And the bank said, okay. See, you don't need to regulate that. You need to let the bank that loaned money based on made-up collateral. And this guy, Jim Bianco, in the interview, one of the things he said, it's like if I printed up $1 million of fake currency at my house and then went to a local bank and said, look, I've got $1 million of currency I just printed up. It's fake, but I've got $1 million of fake currency. I want you to take this as collateral and you loan me $1 million real dollars. You think the bank would say okay to that? Of course not. But when it comes to this bank, and I would imagine it's a multitude of banks, that were loaning against collateral that this company, FTX, they just printed up out of nothing. It had no basis in value whatsoever, except that some people were trading in this coin. So it appeared, based on what this coin was trading on, to have this level. It's just real fascinating to me. You don't need to regulate it. The bank who made loans against this ridiculous collateral that was just made up out of thin air, they deserve to lose every nickel because they made a stupid, stupid decision. So it's not regulation that is the problem, but it's about an hour-long video, but it finally explained to me exactly what was going on with this FTX situation. And here's another thing, too. Now, I got to tell you, as a libertarian, I'm against regulations. If there's anything about Donald Trump I did appreciate, it was the fact he went after regulation stuff. But it is interesting. There's talk that this Sam Bankman-Fried guy, who basically just stole billions of dollars from people who put their money, their accounts on his exchange, he might not have broken any laws. Because of his position as running a Bahamian corporation, and with no regulation around this crypto, he might not have technically done anything illegal because there's no laws around it. This means you as a crypto investor, really you as an investor in anything, you need to do your due diligence. It is up to you ultimately. Do not depend on the government or anybody else to save your bacon. You got to actually pay attention to it. But this has bled out a little bit. Cryptocurrency lender BlockFi is preparing a potential bankruptcy filing after halting withdrawals of customer deposits and acknowledging it has, quote, significant exposure, unquote, to bankrupt exchange FTX. BlockFi paused withdrawals and limited activity on its platform last week, saying it couldn't operate business as usual given the uncertainty about FTX. BlockFi is now planning to lay off some of its workers while the troubled firm prepares for a possible Chapter 11 itself, people familiar with the matter said. Now, this is what you call contagion. And it's going to be very interesting to see. A lot of people were involved in this operation, this FTX. A lot of people. A lot of wealthy people. A lot of banks. This is going to have ripple effects around the world. It's an interesting story for a financial nerd like me. Be right back. Well, the crypto hits just keep on coming. New headline out right now. I just saw in Zero Hedge during the break. Crypto brokerage Genesis has now suspended withdrawals from its lending business. On October 10th, Genesis Trading revealed its derivatives business had around $175 million worth of funds locked away in an FTX trading account. and this was hit by its exposure to bankrupt crypto hedge fund Three Arrows Capital, to which it had made a $2.4 billion loan. Holy cow. I'm telling you, it's a Wild West. I'll just say it again. I know I repeat myself sometimes, but I'm not an enemy of cryptocurrencies. As anything that is decentralized and is outside of government control, I'm a big fan of. I've cast a very wary eye to this. Nobody can tell me what a Bitcoin is worth. Bitcoin is basically worth what somebody else will pay you for it. That's it. That's a little fickle. That's a tad bit fickle. I don't know if in a year people are going to offer me $3,000 for a Bitcoin or $100,000. There's no way to know. There's no intrinsic value metric for these things. But I'm a fan of the technology and anything that gets us out from under government control. The banks have launched, I believe it was yesterday, they've launched their digitized dollar. I believe there are 12 banks, including like HSBC, the money laundering kingpins. HSBC, I've talked about them many times on this show. They're involved in this new digital dollar. They're just testing it out. I think it's a 12-week testing period. Let me go ahead and tell you the future. In 12 weeks, they'll tell us, hey, it worked great. It worked great. They're coming after us with these central bank digital currencies. This is where you should draw a red line as the public. Many people will not. They won't understand them. And they'll love the convenience and probably the freebies. The stimmies that come through central bank digital currencies. To his great credit, the only times I've really had anybody on air to talk about cryptos was Stephen Utroska. And Stephen Utroska, to his great credit, every time we talked about cryptos, he said, don't put them on these exchanges, just keep them in your own little wallet so you don't have that kind of exposure. He's been right. And he's lost money in cryptos recently. Now, the one thing I did get right was the NFT market. I talked about it when it came up and people were paying absurd amounts for these digital images, essentially. They were trading them for hundreds of thousands of dollars in some cases. And I looked at this and I said, you'd pay a few thousand dollars for this picture that I can right click on my computer and save it to the screen of my phone if I want to. And you're going to pay, in some cases, they were paying hundreds of thousands of dollars. Never made any sense to me. And this is when I realized that my gut instincts are generally pretty good, although people might disagree with some of my gut instincts, as we will cover in a few moments. But the NFT market, you want to talk about a mania and a crash. It was within really probably about 6 to 12 months. The NFTs took off. They were all the rage. Tons of money trading on these things. And then they pooped the bed. The NFT is currently residing in the Where Are They Now file. Got to take a break. When I come back, we're going to talk about this Operation Checkmate. The Democrats launched, I think, their most devious plan to date. You know, everybody needs to be on guard for this, and I don't think anybody's paying attention to it. We'll do that when I come back. Stick around. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB in the Mac Hike Fluid Studios. So yesterday, something pretty dramatic happened. I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to it. I don't know if it was necessarily the Democrats. I'll have to find out. It's going to take a while to really find out who's behind this. But I would say the globalists, for sure. They launched a program last night called Operation Checkmate. Have you heard of this thing? It's not really covered. It's couch. It's one of these secret plans that most people don't know about, but I'm so wired in to understanding the evil within our government that I can bring these things to you. The announcement itself is called something different. I was really wondering today, struggling last night as I saw this thing unfolding, and I thought, oh my gosh, can I even address it? I have to be careful of triggering too many people too often. But it is a plan so nefarious, so diabolical and so genius at the same time that it will have Democrats and globalists running the United States for the next 25 to 50 years. That's how serious I believe this is. And what's weird is a lot of people think it's great. It's kind of like digital currencies, central bank digital currencies. People are going to look at all the shiny features of it and think it's just absolutely for them, but then the hammer is going to come down and they're going to realize they've made a huge mistake. The way they presented this thing last night was completely different. It was an announcement speech by Donald Trump that he's running for president. What I watched last night was the beginning of the death of the Republican Party, as I believe. We will see. We will see. Libertarians are big about warning people about stuff, and I know we're always ignored and ridiculed and sidelined, and people object to what we say. But boy, we got a pretty darn good record on warning you about the FBI, the CIA, the Deep State, Department of Homeland Security, the Patriot Act, the Department of Education. It just doesn't matter. Government control over everything. I've been sitting on the sidelines for the wars. I've been warning about these things myself. I was here telling you the day Christopher Wray's name was even announced as the head of the FBI. I said, don't do it. Not going to be a good guy. I was told I was wrong. When William Barr was mentioned for attorney general, I said, this is a Bush guy. Started with the CIA. Not a good idea. I was told I was wrong. When John Bolton was announced as national security advisor, I said, well, John Bolton, he's the guy, he's architect of the Iraq war. I was told, you don't understand, Mike. It's a grand plan. John Bolton's there for a reason. Yeah, he was there for a reason to keep the war state going. And it turned out. So I'm just saying, you know, I don't think my predictive records on what will take place are bad. I could always be wrong. I could certainly miss one. But it's interesting to me, the people who told you that William Barr was going to be great were wrong. But people still listen to them. The people who told you Christopher Wray was a genius appointment were wrong. And people still give a lot of credibility to them. So Trump made his announcement speech. He will be running for the 2024 nomination on the Republican Party. It's probably his to lose. We'll see if there actually gets to be a fight in the trenches between him and DeSantis. DeSantis may just take a bow out. He said he's not going to run if Trump's going to run. So that may be your candidate. This will split the... There's a lot of people you don't really understand. Now, I heard a guy earlier today on Clay's show saying, all I say is Orange Man bad. And so this lumps me in, I guess, with the left. The problem is, the problems that I have with Donald Trump are almost completely opposite of what the left has problems with Donald Trump. Oh, look at that. They tried to get me. I'm being censored already because I am exposing the globalist plan to run the United States. The only thing standing between globalism, complete totalitarianism right now, is the resistance in the United States. It has now been usurped. Another 4 years, another 6 years of standing down, and we'll be finished here. A lot of people don't understand how many people are off the Trump train. This is going to hurt Trump's chances, and I believe he is probably the only person that can lose to Democrats. You know who's really happy about that announcement today? A lot of Trump supporters absolutely thrilled. They believe this is biblical stuff. It is the second coming. But let me tell you who's even more enthusiastic about a Trump return to the campaign trail. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. The mainstream media is just counting the coins today. They are so excited. You know who else is really excited? The Democrat Party. The Democrat Party can now focus all of its energy and rile its base up against this one point. This one particular gentleman. And they don't have to address their horrific record and all of their failures and the plight of the working person. All they've got to do is just point to this one guy. It gives them the only campaign issue that they need to distract all of their voters. Now, there was some interesting news in Trump's announcement speech last night. I did watch a good bit. I did not know until Trump told us last night that he had completed the wall. Did you know that? Oh, he said it. He said, we completed the wall back during his, because this is so weird. So many Trump supporters were so upset, and I thought Trump had said, or Trump supporters had said that Paul Ryan had blocked it, and I've heard people just within the last couple of days saying they wouldn't give him the money to finish the wall. No, he finished it. He said it last night in his speech, must be true. And that's interesting because I actually have a link pulled up in front of me. I won't bother it. It's Customs and Border Patrol, Southwest Border Total Apprehensions. It's for... years 14 through 19. There's still an awful lot of people that were apprehended coming across the border for the fact we had a completed wall. But anyway, I won't bore you with those. Another thing Trump said in his speech last night that was very interesting to me. Again, I'm an economics nerd, so I'm always fascinated by this stuff. He said he is the one that had inflation at 1%. He said he met with his economic advisors, and they said between 1 and 2% is perfect. And he said, let's go for 1. And so Donald Trump himself set the inflation rate at 1%. You have to be a certain kind of stupid to believe that one person set an inflation rate and nailed it. Yet he said it. He said he said it. He told him. He said, I know 1% or 2%. Let's just do 1%. You can watch this speech. It was quite interesting. I don't know why Biden doesn't do this. If inflation has been such a problem for Biden and hurting his popularity, why didn't he just go into his meeting and go, let's go back to 1%? That seemed to be pretty popular. Of course, people understand that that's absolutely insane. They've announced today that apparently that errant missile that killed two people in Poland, turns out it wasn't Russia after all, but we did hear during the news break just a second ago that they still blame Vladimir Putin. Donald Trump said in his speech last night that Russians had launched missiles to hit Poland. But the news was still foggy. Maybe he hadn't gotten the memo yet. Most other people were already saying, we don't know, have any idea who exactly did this. But I believe this is a grand plan. We're going to see. I could certainly miss one and get one wrong. I'm trying to save the Republican Party. Who would have thought little Mike Madison, who has so many disagreements and takes on so headstrong against the Republican Party, would be the one trying to save it? Because I do believe it's at least a speed bump. It's at least a speed bump in this direction towards ruin that the country is embarking on. So I would like to see that speed bump at least still intact. And then I'd like to see you improve the speed bump and turn it into a wall where they have to take this train to destruction and actually do a U-turn. But I'll take the speed bump for right now. Who would have guessed it? Mike Madison trying to save the Republican Party. We've seen everything now. I'll be right back. You can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. Look, I'm a libertarian guy. Libertarians are so used to having our warnings ignored. I don't think this will be any exception. And I will say, in the battle between Donald J. Trump and Mike Madison, Donald Trump will come out victorious. I will probably have to sideline myself from this show because people don't want to. I don't know. Maybe some people hate listening to me. I'm not sure. But I think you really underestimate. I pay a lot of attention on conservative websites when there's Trump stories. I pay a lot of attention to the comments because I'm very curious to what people are saying. And there are a whole lot of people out there not big fans of the clot shot, not big fans of not pardoning Julian Assange, not big fans of hiring the swamp. A lot of people on these sites saying, I voted for him twice, not going to get me again. I'm just saying, I believe this is Operation Checkmate run by the globalist. But who wants to hear me whine about this stuff? I know not many people, but I did think this was interesting. In these comment sections, a former Trump voter posted this video by G. Edward Griffin. If you don't know who he is, he's the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island. He appeared on the Greg Hunter Show, USA Watchdog. And they posted this as part of the reason that they're not on the train this time around. So who cares to listen to me? Let's listen. G. Edward Griffin, he's been fighting globalism for decades now. Long before you even entertained the idea of globalism and this stuff, he was writing books about the Federal Reserve and explaining the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the big moneyed interests who are taking over the world. He's got a pretty long, not very many American patriots have a problem with G. Edward Griffin, so I'll let him explain to you what his thinking is.
This question about Mr. Trump causes me to reflect back on what I've learned in my years of researching how this cartel and their friends and other cartels as well, how they work. And I've learned that their strongest, their most powerful enemy, I'll get this right, their most powerful weapon is to offer their own opposition. They call it controlled opposition. That's how they sold the Federal Reserve, by the way, to the American people. The banks put together the Federal Reserve System, and then they had to sell it, make the people want it. And so some of the bankers themselves went on public, on the road, and began to speak against the Federal Reserve that they had created. They said, this system is bad. It's going to be bad for America, be bad for business. And the average person read that in the newspaper and said, oh, listen, Maud, look, the bankers don't like the Federal Reserve much. It must be pretty good. That's how it worked. It always works that way. If they wanted to get rid of Mr. Trump, I think they could have. In fact, I believe they could have prevented him from being elected, because some years ago I produced a documentary film called Invisible Ballots. And this was at least 15 years ago. I was convinced then that they actually could, at that time, control the count on any election if they wanted to, because of the computerized systems, which they control. No paper record or anything like that. It's all electronic, and it's easily controlled. And when Mr. Trump was elected, I thought, why did they let him be elected? And then I just tucked that question away. And then I remembered that Mr. Trump was on the campaign trail early, and he said, vote for me because I'm a businessman. I make deals. I'm a deal maker. I can work with anybody, he said. I don't care who it is. I work with them. We get things done. And most people thought, oh, that's good. Yeah, we want somebody that gets things done without asking what things. But I was thinking about what things are going to get done, and I tucked that away. And then a few months later, after he became a little more popular, the press condemned him, but they didn't condemn him. They were always saying that the left condemned him. Well, there are a lot of people that think that if the left condemns something, it's got to be good without examining what it is itself. I mean, the left condemns the right. The communists condemned the Nazis. Does that make the Nazis good? No, but it's a game that they play very well. They know how people don't ask those deep questions. And so I had that tucked away in my mind. And then I read in the paper that Mr. Trump spent a day with Henry Kissinger in his place in New York. I thought, what? What is Trump spending with Kissinger, times with Kissinger, who, as everybody should know, is the bag man for the Rockefellers? And they're the most powerful economic and political force in the United States, maybe second to in the world, probably number two. What? And then all of a sudden, of course, he told us. I know now what he was doing there. He was making a deal. He said he's a deal maker. A deal. Well, what could the deal have been? I don't know. These are just questions, Greg, just questions. And so Trump gets elected. I think, that's amazing. And everybody's cheering him because the left hates him. Now, I'm here to tell you that if Trump didn't have all these outrageous, ugly people screaming and yelling and threatening and doing stupid, outrageous, vulgar things against him, I think he would look like a buffoon. But really? He's got the right enemies. He's got the right enemies. I even recorded this. I have it in my computer. In the campaign trail, somebody asked him, Mr. Trump, what are you going to do about Mr. Soros if you're elected? And he said, oh, poor Mr. Soros. Leave him alone. He's got enough problems.
Oh, forget Soros.
The media loves Obama.
He's got enough problems. She goes, what about Soros? Let's talk about somebody else.
And then I find out that he's a social friend of Soros. And I haven't proved this, but I heard that Soros and his consortium was the biggest investor in bailing out Trump Towers. Otherwise, Trump would have been bankrupt.
And what you will see.
So, Mike Madison's wrong. G. Edward Griffith's wrong. I'll just tell you again, just a warning. that video was posted by a Trump voter, someone who voted for him in 2016 and again in 2020. A lot of people are very upset that there are still people from January 6th rotting in jail. They're not very happy with that. See, what I'm saying is you've lost a chunk of the base. Now, the base that still exists, it's strong. But you were convinced that the government was working for you for 4 years. And how did we end that up? Take a look at 2020. I'm just saying. Again, I know I'm wrong. I don't know. You know, as I say, the face-off between Donald J. Trump and Mike Madison is an easy one. I lose. 10 out of 10 times in central Mississippi, I'm going to lose this battle. But this is what I believe. I have given it my own name. And we'll see. Maybe I will return to radio in 2026. Maybe it'll have to be 2029 after we get out of 4 more years of Donald Trump. And we'll talk about what I believe was Operation Checkmate, and that is the controlled opposition that looks like a real bull in the china shop when it comes to the leftists. But he's so far, he's 1 in 3 in elections. 0-3 since his initial election. Republicans have been steadily losing power across this country for the last 6 years now after the initial win. And you notice the Republicans did nothing with that power when they actually had it to fix anything. They kind of took a break, didn't do much of anything, and then it's been steady Democrat control now. I believe this is Operation Checkmate by the globalists and the Democrats. They will split the Republican Party into a million pieces and rule us all for the next 20 to 25 years while conservatives scramble to get their stuff back together. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, broadcasting from the Mac Hike of Flowood Studios here. It is Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we do the same thing and focus in on your health. Or try to direct you to focus in on your health and understand that your health outcomes are largely in your own hands. You don't have to sit around and wait for a pill or a new shot to come out to reclaim your health. All of that power is within your own hands if you just understand that most of what people are suffering from are nutritional deficiencies, and it's the food. It's the food that's making you sick. I start every show by explaining to you I'm not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not a chemist, not a pharmacologist, not a doctor, not a nurse, not a surgeon, not a vaccinologist, not an immunologist. I ain't nothing. I'm just a guy who reclaimed his health about 20 years ago, 17 years ago to be exact, almost 18 years now. And I realized the impact that nutrition can have. It's really pretty great to have a pretty much unbroken streak of 17 years of feeling great all the time. Dumped a bunch of old nagging problems that I thought were just a consequence of getting older. Turns out it was actually all the garbage I was shoving in my pie hole. So I'm healthier now than I was 20 years ago. That is not an exaggeration. Before I get into stuff and show you where I thought maybe my show's having an impact, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, it has nothing to do with me, but there is an encouraging statistic coming out of the state of Mississippi, but there's been something going around, bug, cold, something, it's nothing major. Some people are running fevers, some people have been nauseous, a lot of sore throats, a lot of coughing, a lot of sniffling, and it was interesting. So I'm just going to tell you how I dealt with this. I'm not prescribing this to anybody, but it's just fascinating because this happens to me fairly regularly. A little something, a few times a year, something I can feel it coming. I feel a little something in my chest, in my throat. I'm like, aha. And I was around a bunch of people who had missed work and come back and this whatever this bug is that's going around. I've talked to parents and they say, oh, yeah, there's something just shooting through the schools. I've been around a bunch of young kids who have been sick. So I woke up one morning and had a little sore throat, a little scratchiness in my throat. The thing is that if you're armed with the right information and you don't want to get sick, I'll be honest with you, I kind of miss the days of having the flu where I have a complete excuse to lay in bed all day long for several days in a row. I've not had that for 17 years. It's a bit of a vacation. I just don't like feeling bad. And now I'll admit I've got a little bit of my ego wrapped up in the idea that I don't get sick. I just don't get sick. I haven't had a sick day where I've had to call out of work or any activity for 17 years now, and that's a pretty good streak I don't want to break. Eventually, it'll break. Something will get me, but not this time. So the morning I woke up, I had sore throat. I could tell there was a little something going on, a little scratchy, a little sniffy, and a little bit of a cough. Immediately, I woke up. I poured a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar into a glass. That was the very first thing I did. I took a shot. Then I gargled with some salt water, some sea salt water. I gargled a little bit. Then I sprayed my throat with colloidal silver. And then instead of the usual Stevia sweetened coffee that I have each morning, I put a little bit of honey in my coffee. This is a violation of my carnivore diet, but it was all hands on deck. Honey is very good for soothing the throat, keeping it from tickling and causing a great deal of coughs. More about that in just a second. I also supplemented with a pretty good regimen of vitamin D, vitamin C. And I'm looking at my notes just to remember exactly the chronology of what I did. And I actually wrote this on my notes. I said, wrote these notes 3 hours later as it was subsiding. And what I was doing was basically just giving my immune system what it needed to fight back. And by the end of that day, I could tell it was going away. Within a couple of days, it was completely gone. Never got a hold of me. Never fever. Never strep throat, which is what would have happened to me 20 years ago. So you can't beat these things back. It's the same regimen every time. Pretty much do it. And I'm now about I'm about 30-0 against something getting control of me. It's interesting. A lot of people turn to cough syrups. I wanted to bring this up real quick because when you start to have a cough and this itchy throat, a lot of people head to the store and they get their cough syrup, their Robitussin or whatever else is on the counters these days. I ran across this story, and I think I've talked about it before. Ever wonder why you're still hacking even after dosing yourself with cough meds? It might be because it's likely your over-the-counter cough medicines don't help at all. This is according to a new video from the American Chemical Society's Reaction Series. Quote, there is very little evidence that cough syrup is effective in treating your cough. That's what the scientists say in the video. That's why they concluded that after they analyzed all of the available evidence, including systematic reviews that pulled data from multiple scientific studies. In fact, one review of 19 studies, 15 showed either no benefit of over-the-counter cough meds or conflicting results with them. Cough medications don't work. Ooh, how about that? That's a big market. Everybody runs out to get these things. And there's just no evidence that cough medications work whatsoever, full of all kinds of chemicals and other kinds of things. Another giant swing and a miss. I'm telling you, you get some good local honey, something like that. Coats the throat a little bit. I like the taste of honey. Some people don't like it, but it's always been more effective for me than any kind of over-the-counter cough syrup. And if you look into it, there's just basically no scientific evidence that cough syrups work. Quite amazing. So I ran across a headline. I thought, man, Mike, you're making an impact. You want to hear some good news about the state of Mississippi? Most recent data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention show over 7 in 10 U.S. adults aged 20 and over are either overweight or obese. That's not the good news. The problem is bigger in some states than others, though. Wallet Hub took a closer look at their list of 2022's most overweight and obese states in America. West Virginia was ranked the most overweight state, followed by Mississippi and Kentucky. We are not number one in obesity anymore. We're heading up the charts like a rocket. So there you go. I mean, you know, I try to give you a little bit of hope here. The trend in Mississippi is that we're not dead last anymore, or first, whichever way you want to look at it when it comes to obesity. But then I see that now the show's making absolutely no difference. There's stories about this. I've talked a little bit about the Adderall shortage. Here's what Adderall prescriptions have done in the United States since 2017. In 2017, there were 32.2 million prescriptions for Adderall. 2018, 33 million. 2019, 36 million. 2020, 37.5 million. And now we stand at 41.4 million prescriptions for Adderall in the United States. This is so sad. 42% of Americans young but cynical Generation Z are dealing with mental health condition, a new study finds. Range of these issues were largely identified during the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. That is so weird. The analysis by Harman Healthcare IT suggests tens of millions of Gen Z young adults started dealing with a mental health problem in the months immediately following the start of the global pandemic. Oh my God, what these medical professionals did to our children. Unforgivable. And our young adults. The Indiana-based data management company's survey highlights a staggering percentage of young adults diagnosed with anxiety, depression, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, or post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, during the pandemic. Three-quarters of these Americans, all under the age of 25, say the pandemic negatively impacted their mental health, with many citing loneliness and uncertainty about the future. Of course, we all know it wasn't the pandemic that caused these things. It was the hysterical response by the Anthony Faucis, the Thomas Dobbs, the Tate Reeves of the world that stripped people of their schooling, all of their social circles, and made them fear for their lives, if not their lives, told them they might kill their grandma. And I wanted to read this. This is just sick. 20% of the 1,000 Gen Z study participants say they have a regular therapist. 57% take regular medication. 57% of our young adults are currently taking medications for mental health. 57%. It's almost 6 out of every 10 kids has been convinced by a medical establishment that their brain's broke. They need a pill. And I got to tell you, if you're a parent and you've drugged your child into some level of obedience or happiness, shame on you. Now, it's not totally your fault. You trusted a man or a woman in a white lab coat or a head shrinker or a school counselor, but it's your duty to protect your children from things exactly like this. You know, if we hire a babysitter or we want to put our kids in a daycare, we vet them. But if somebody has a white lab coat on, somebody in some level of authority, they will easily convince you that your child is mentally ill and prescribe a pill, a mind-altering, psychological-altering pill. I encourage you to put your guard back up against the medical establishment if you have not already after what we've gone through in the last 2 years. It's sad that I have to say this, but do not arbitrarily drug your child. You don't play with the wiring in your kid's brains while it's still developing. Now, many parents, unfortunately, have already fallen for the antidepressant con, which I've broken down on this show quite often. And there's been a lot of headlines recently I hadn't even gotten to that show that antidepressants are no better than a sugar pill. But they've been convinced that they can find happiness in a prescription bottle. So they think their kids can find success in one of these bottles, too. It is sick. It's extremely sick that we have gotten to this level. You have government authorities and a medical community that terrorized your children for 2 years, and when they drove them into depression and anxiety and ADHD and PTSD because of their hysterical response to COVID, their answer is, coming out of this, oh, we need to drug your child. We caused all this mental stress on them, but we got a pill for that. And obviously, more and more parents are falling for it, and more kids are falling under it. This is sad, sad stuff. Sad stuff. I'll be a little more encouraging when I come back. Stick around. The topics that I bring up on the health show segment are largely driven by several different things, sometimes headlines that I see. Sometimes it is people ask me to do things. I got a listener whose cat has cancer. I'm trying to help her find some things. The doctors have basically said there's nothing they can do for this cat. She's listened to the show, and she wants to know if there's nutritional things she can do for a cat. I started looking that up. There's a whole lot of people out there with success stories about their animals that they've cured through nutrition. God gave us, ourselves, all animals, this innate healing ability. If we give it the proper tools, we can heal from things. So, but also a lot of times I see things out in public that I realize, wow, people are so misguided, so misdirected, that I feel the need to bring these things to the show. A couple of weeks ago, I saw an older gentleman fixing a cup of coffee. And he was asked, do you take cream and sugar? He said, no, I need Splenda. He said, and then, I'm listening. I don't say anything. That's not my place. But obviously, this just set off alarm bells in my head. And then he says, yeah, I'm a diabetic, so I use all these artificial sweeteners. And I thought this was so sad, because this is the mainstream nutritional advice to control your blood sugars. The only problem is these artificial sweeteners are causing diabetes. Yeah, you heard that right. Here's a story that, again, I do what Mike Madison does. And I take 15 seconds to look this stuff up because I've seen it so often. Here's an article. This is just from August 19th of this year. Artificial sweeteners. This was in the New York Post. Artificial sweeteners could cause diabetes, shocking new research says. Now, this won't shock anybody who's been listening to this show for almost 6 years, as I've been warning you about this for that period of time. This might be just further evidence of it. Real sugar can quickly rack up calories, but artificial sugar may cause diabetes. Scientists are now warning that some artificial sweeteners can alter the body's microbes in a way that changes blood sugar levels, according to new data published in the journal Cell and reported by Southwest News Service. The sugar substitutes, which include saccharin and aspartame, are in thousands of diet products such as fizzy drinks, desserts, ready meals, and cakes, and can also even be found in chewing gum and toothpaste. Manufacturers have long denied that the substitutions could have adverse effects on the human body, and experts have previously noted that blood sugar levels aren't affected by them. However, the new data suggested that caution may be necessary. In subjects consuming the non-nutritive sweeteners, we could identify very distinct changes in the composition and function of gut microbes and the molecules that they secrete into peripheral blood. That is the senior author and professor Aaron Elinov of the German National Center Cancer Center. Quote, this seemed to suggest gut microbes in the human body are rather sensitive to each of these sweeteners. When we looked at consumers of non-nutritive sweeteners as groups, we found two of the non-nutritive sweeteners, saccharin and sucralose, significantly impacted glucose tolerance in healthy adults. You got a bunch of diabetics out there drinking diet sodas, making their condition worse. It's incredibly sad. It was interesting. This article appeared two places. It was essentially a story about the same thing. It was here on New York Post, and then it was carried on Yahoo News. What was interesting about the Yahoo News thing was that the picture that they have above this, and here's how the story starts. The headline is, Artificial Sweeteners Could Cause Diabetes Studies Reveal. Same story as the other one. The beginning of the story says, Artificial Sweeteners Could Cause Diabetes, new research has revealed. And it goes into the exact same things. The problem is, the picture that they have above this is about 10 boxes all of stevia. Or stevia, however you say it. Stevia is a dried-up plant. It's not an artificial sweetener. It's a plant sweetener. And so these aren't what they're talking about. What they're talking about is everything that's in all of the diet drinks, the aspartame, the saccharin, the Splenda, the Equal, all those packets, the blue, the pink, the yellow packets that everybody gobbles up. It's not the stevia. That's the artificial sweetener. Just kind of an interesting thing. I would imagine the people at Yahoo News just don't understand that. Or was this actually deliberate to try to lump stevia in with the rest of them? I think the verdict on stevia is somewhat out. I do use it as a sweetener in my coffee just about every day. But I don't use it to excess. But I have not had a diet soda since 2005. And I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm happy. I live a good, full life. I'm in very good shape and do not battle with any weight issues, no blood sugar issues. I actually want to gain 5 to 10 pounds. Your taste buds might need a short period of adjustment. I can't mitigate that for you. You can try stevia if you want to try that. So I don't like the taste of that. My taste buds need to be hit the exact right way. I don't care if it might cause diabetes and change my gut microbiome. I've got to, I mean, I've been 2005, every afternoon, I had a Diet Coke and a bag of Doritos. And it was so strange. I was getting sick all the time. I can't understand why. When I cut that out, I had to get off the diet sodas too. It's okay. You'll be okay. I'm on the other side. I'm telling you, it'll be okay. It's so strange to me that people just, I can't give that up. Why? Why not? Now, you will do fine on sweetened with stevia or unsweetened beverages without artificial sweetener. You'll survive, Cupcake, and you'll be a healthier version of yourself. Understand, they have purposefully addicted you, and they have actually made you sicker, fatter than you'd otherwise be. And for many times, they didn't even want to approve this stuff. I'm repeating some topics I didn't before, but this older gentleman who's trying to combat his diabetes by using a substance that is shown to cause diabetes. And there's nothing sadder to me. I've talked about this a lot. Nothing sadder to me than to see people in the grocery store trying to do the right thing. I'm overweight. So I'm not going to get that really good tasting regular Coke. I'm going to get a Diet Coke because I'm trying to do what's right for myself. I know I need to lose a few pounds. That's what I'm going to do. Turns out diet sodas actually make you fatter. They make you crave carbs. These non-nutritive sweeteners. Just think about that term for a minute. Non-nutritive. It's just a chemical, has no nutritional value whatsoever. These things actually make you fatter and sicker. There's a documentary out there called Sweet Misery. If you have any questions, if you don't believe me, because my doctor says I can't have a regular Coca-Cola, I got to get me one of them Diet or Coke Zeros. If you don't believe me, you should check out the documentary Sweet Misery. I don't like to give listeners homework. I want you to just find your own path if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I know a lot of people have taken up the mantle and have started improving their health by doing their own research and whatever's appropriate for them. So I don't like to give you homework. So when I come back, I'm going to play you a couple of clips from Sweet Misery. If you ever understood the story behind artificial sweeteners and the fact that during the 1970s, the FDA, back when they were honest, they actually had some honest people. They hadn't been bought out by Big Pharma yet. That really took place in the 1980s. But back in the 1970s, they rejected these artificial sweeteners over and over and over again until they finally got co-opted. And I'll tell you a little bit about that story as well. And then they approved these things. The reason they didn't approve them all through the 1970s, because they were dangerous. And now people are gobbling them up by the gallons every single day, thinking they're doing the right thing for themselves. You're not. You're just not. You're addicted to a chemical that they are giving you that is making you sicker. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You know what's interesting? You know, I talked about the fact that West Virginia is now fatter than we are. Woohoo! Mississippi has a huge diabetes problem. The United States has a diabetic problem. There are well over 100 million Americans that are either full-blown diabetic or I think the number is something like 78 million people walking around with pre-diabetes don't even know it. Nobody's asking why. You notice this? Oh, they're talking about access to health care. They're talking about insulin prices. But we're led to believe that this is just some genetic anomaly, I guess. And I keep saying this, but is it, I mean, I don't know I've ever been with a diabetic. Are they the sexiest people around? Are they just multiplying? Is that why so many people now are genetically prone to diabetes? It's only the people with genes for diabetes are procreating? Is there something kind of like pheromones that come off someone that's diabetic or pre-diabetic that makes them very attractive to the opposite sex? So they're multiplying, and the people that are not diabetic, they're just really not procreating very much. Nobody asks where it's coming from. We got young kids. Young kids without even weight problems are coming up diabetic. Nobody asking where it is, where it's coming from. It's the food. It's the crap you're eating. These artificial sweeteners are in everything. My poor kids, we would go out. I wasn't a food Nazi with my kids. I liked them to have a treat, and they would go to any convenience store. I'd let them get a snack or something. They'd have to bring the label to me. I'd look at every single pack of gum, aspartame. We finally had to go to health food stores and find them some xylitol sweetened gum. I wanted my kids to enjoy gum. Nothing better than a good piece of gum. But I wasn't going to give them aspartame. And it's in everything. So you check your labels with these processed foods and all these candies that you're giving your kids. Even if it's got sugar in it, it's also got aspartame. And God help you if you find something that says sugar-free. That's just a chemical cocktail. I want you to listen to this. This is further down in this story. Think about this for a moment. This is about the story about this thing showing that these artificial sweeteners, saccharin and aspartame, are causing diabetes. Professor Elinov added, quote, "We need to raise awareness of the fact that non-nutritive sweeteners are not inert to the human body as we originally believed." Huh. Does that remind you of anything else? Something more recent that came in a syringe? It's not as effective as we originally believed. It's not as inert and safe as we originally believed. But listen to this. With that said, the clinical health implications of the changes they may elicit in humans remain unknown and, get this, merit future long-term studies. They merit future long-term studies. This stuff has been consumed by the gallons by Americans for 50 years now. 40 years. This aspartame, sucralose, all these other things, they really came into everything in the 1980s. 40 years people have been consuming this. Now they say, oh, you know what? This might merit some long-term studies. Quote, "In the meantime, we need to continue searching for solutions to our sweet tooth craving while avoiding sugar, which is clearly most harmful to our metabolic health. In my personal view, drinking only water seems to be the best solution." That's a quote from the study's author. The findings published in the journal Cell follow previous research suggesting artificial sweeteners have adverse effects on metabolism and appetite control. That's what I'm saying. These diet sodas, you're getting fewer calories in your soda, but it's making you eat a ton of carbs and making you fat. This documentary, Sweet Misery, I'll be honest with you, I could have just taken the day off and just played this thing. You ought to watch it if you're at all unconvinced by what I have to tell you. But there's a couple of clips, and it's been a few days. It was right after that I saw this elderly gentleman putting artificial sweeteners in his coffee because he's diabetic, that I pulled this up. It's available on YouTube. It's called Sweet Misery. And I could play clips from this thing all day, but apparently, and I don't even remember what they are, but I picked these out a week or so ago. Let's see what they have to say.
The FDA, which is the watchdog of American safety that we have empowered to protect the American public against food additives and...
Now, this is Dr. Robert Moser. He was the vice president of NutraSweet.
...drugs has repeatedly reviewed all of the data that has been forthcoming from hundreds of studies about aspartame.
Back in 1965, according to G.D. Searle, one of their researchers was working on an ulcer drug when he happened to get some of the substance on his finger, and instinctively, he licked it, noticing its sweet taste. One of the first tests conducted on aspartame was a 52-week study of monkeys to determine the effects of aspartame on primates. 7 monkeys were fed aspartame with milk. 5 of those monkeys had grand mal seizures, and 1 died.
I believe it is still the case that the largest number of adverse events reported for food additives is aspartame and artificial sweeteners. I mean, you might be able to put down a 6-pack of Diet Coke every single day, and you don't see any immediate problems with it. But I believe to this reporting system, aspartame and artificial sweeteners, it's things like migraines. If you've got migraines and you're drinking these artificial sweeteners, let me save your life. Put these sweeteners down for a month. Just try it as a personal challenge. See if your migraines don't go away. There's all kinds of side effects to these sweeteners for a lot of people.
Monkeys have more of a reaction to ethanol, regular alcohol like vodka or scotch. They have a real high resistance to methanol, and even though they were fed aspartame with milk, they still came down with seizures, and one died of, I guess, cardiac arrest from overstimulated nervous system. Searle went back and got another physician, a fellow named Dr. Wellington, and this guy sat down and redesigned the monkey study.
In that same year, Dr. John Olney found that oral intake of aspartic acid could cause brain tumors in mice.
We had this situation where the company initially seemed to be responsive to the concerns, and they actually sent a team of researchers to Dr. Olney's laboratory, and they recreated the studies. The Searle investigators recreated the studies that showed this brain damage in animals. And they went back to Searle, and we waited to hear what Searle was going to do about this. And the next thing we knew, I would say that they probably went to Dr. Olney's lab mid-71. Mid-73, they applied to the FDA for a food additive petition to use NutraSweet as a sweetener. So I called the FDA, and I said, this doesn't make any sense.
Dr. Olney was asked by G.D. Searle to conduct a study because there were some concerns. And it's interesting to note that these concerns came up before a lot of the major testing into the toxicity of aspartame became apparent. But my thinking as an FDA investigator is that G.D. Searle already knew that going into this.
Ultimately, FDA, using its good offices, interestingly enough, a major person there, created a meeting between me, Searle, and General Foods, which was going to be one of the main customers. And we met. And I said I didn't think that this would ever reach the market. And they said, well, they were sure it was going to be approved. And I thought that we were on 180 degrees opposite sides. It turned out that it was approved, but FDA asked them not to market it. And they held it up so that there could be hearings and so forth.
In 1974, the FDA approved the limited use of aspartame.
Do you know why they were sure it was going to be approved? You said that they said that it was sure that they...
Well, see, when I said I don't think it's going to reach the market, I was being very particular, but I didn't believe it was going to be approved because the evidence didn't show. They said it was. Now, one very strange fact in all of that is that I knew that they had the brain damage study from Olney's lab that their own people had done. And we talked about the various pieces of evidence that were problems. And I finally said, what about the brain damage problem from the animals in Dr. Olney's laboratory that your own people have gone and looked at. And he said, we don't think those are going to be a problem. Well, it turned out they weren't a problem because they didn't give them to the FDA. So here they had in their own files a study that raised very serious questions, but they did not give to the FDA. That's a violation of law.
Laws don't matter. Laws don't matter. I'm going to play a clip again. I'll take a quick break, and I'll play another clip. This is bad. I would like one person, if there's anybody out there who listens to this show and just thinks to yourself, hey, maybe I'll just see if there's any profound effect on my health. This is like one of those things, you know, people say, well, what are the first steps? It is very confusing to regain your health. I mean, you really got to pay attention to a lot of moving parts. I think it's worth it. Many people don't. They'd rather deteriorate and take a pill for every symptoms. It's much, much easier. But if there's one person out there listening who takes these things out of their diet and notices that their migraines go away, maybe seizures. Who knew? Seizures. There's all kinds of ill effects of these artificial sweeteners. If you do that for 30 days and your health improves, please let me know. So I know I'm not just shouting into the wind here. I'll be right back.
All over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for the day on today's Hump Day Health segment. If you want to do something positive for your health, ditch the artificial sweeteners and replace them with great-tasting, very nutritious meat from Stonington Farm. You can find them at stoningtonfarm.com. This is Mississippi-born, raised, and processed beef. They use no antibiotics, no hormones, and they feed their cows grass the way nature intended. It makes for a substantially better nutritional product than you will get from the grocery stores at the same price or even less, particularly if you buy it in bulk. But they are now doing small orders here in Mississippi, in the Jackson area. This Friday, I believe it's going to be Katie Stonington, will be up here with her big chest in her big cooler in her van. That came across awkwardly. She'll have a big cooler in her van where she will be delivering meat on Friday afternoon. So you can get small orders. Order yourself some ribeyes, the chuck eye steaks, hamburger meat. Organ meats are fantastic for you if you can tolerate them. I got to tell you, I am not getting a taste for liver as much as I'm trying because I know it's good for me. But they've got it all. Check out stoningtonfarm.com. It's S-T-O-N-N-I-N-G-T-O-N, stoningtonfarm.com. You'll see everything they offer, and you're going to call down there, and you're going to actually talk to probably Katie Stonington, the actual cattle rancher in South Mississippi down in Perkiston, and she'll tell you what they've got available, what you can get. She might even share some recipes with you. It's fantastic to deal with a local farmer like this, but for this particular show, I'm impressed by these people and such an acolyte for them because, number one, they're providing about 75% of all the food I'm eating as I'm doing carnivore right now. And number two, this is a more nutritious cut of beef. And I'm all about everybody getting more nutrition out of their diet. It's stoningtonfarm.com, stoningtonfarm.com. You'll find their phone number there. Make sure that you tell them that WIAB and the Mike Madison Show sent you. All right, we're going to finish up with, I was going to bash them. I'm going to talk probably a little bit next week, maybe about some exercise stuff. You know, there really are two parts to keeping good physical health. One is what you put in your pie hole, and the other is the fact that you exert any energy out of your body. We have a very sedentary country here. For some reason, we can find time to do some of the most absurd things, including social media and a whole host of other things, but most people just cannot find 30 minutes three times a week to get their heart pumping a little bit. This is a disaster. I was going to kind of bash this tweet I had seen. It's a guy named Dan Goh. He's at FitFounder online, and he said this. It just kind of triggered me a little bit, but I'm going to correct myself here. He says, too busy to hit the gym? Do a micro-workout. Micro-workouts are short sessions that improve your fitness while boosting your metabolism. Here's 16 micro-workouts you can do anywhere. And when I first looked at this, I went, I mean, seriously, how pressed for time are we? How pathetic are we that we can't do just a regular walking set? We're now trying to find micro ways to fit our health into our daily schedule of a bunch of unhealthy habits. But he's got some stuff on here that maybe is worth doing. If you're not used to exercising, anything is better than nothing. He's talking about walking meetings, doorway chin-ups, soleus desk raises, coffee planks, doing a plank while you're brewing your coffee, squatting to sit before sitting on a chair, do 10 bodyweight squats. This is probably actually pretty good advice. I take back my initial triggering at the idea that we have to now, like children, be given micro workouts. I'm going to play this last clip, whatever time I've got left. This is from Sweet Misery. It is talking about aspartame. Here's the title of it on YouTube: Aspartame Sweet Misery, a Poisoned World Movie. And I'm telling you, go to the grocery stores. People are guzzling this stuff by the absolute gallons, thinking they're doing something good for their health.
Maybe critical of NutraSweet.
In 1977, the FDA chief counsel, Richard Merrill, recommended to U.S. Attorney Samuel Skinner that a grand jury be set up to investigate G.D. Searle.
Well, FDA did attempt to do something, and it wasn't the political part of the FDA. These were the people that really were trying to work and do well. One of the counsel's lawyers for the Food and Drug Administration contacted the U.S. attorney in Chicago and to bring an indictment against G.D. Searle for fraud, for deletion of records, manipulation of records, false.
Now, G.D. Searle is the company trying to get aspartame, these non-nutritive artificial sweeteners, onto the market. They were deleting stories. They were manipulating data to try to get this thing approved. The FDA, back when it had some good scientists, it probably still has some good scientists. It's the political arm of FDA, the bought and paid for big pharma arm of the FDA that sets all the policies. But they were trying to actually prosecute G.D. Searle. And this is the stuff you're drinking right now, that you're eating in your processed food, that your kids are getting in their gum. The FDA was trying to sue the company for manipulating the science around these things because the FDA knew in the 1970s how dangerous this aspartame and artificial sweeteners were.
Falsification of records and a number of other things on the testing that they did on aspartame and several other products as well.
Suddenly, U.S. Attorney Samuel Skinner began preliminary employment discussions with G.D. Searle's law firm, Sidley & Austin.
Huh. Now check out this revolving door. This is not just a health segment. This is a political science degree you're getting right here to understand how your loving agencies that are there to protect you, how the revolving door between these people is what lands these dangerous products on the shelves of our grocery stores.
The U.S. Justice Department urged Attorney Samuel Skinner to proceed with the grand jury, pointing out that the statute of limitations on prosecution would soon run out. Samuel Skinner withdrew from the G.D. Searle case, and Assistant U.S. Attorney William Conlin was assigned to the grand jury investigation. Shortly afterwards, Samuel Skinner left his job to work for G.D. Searle's law firm.
Huh.
The assistant he left behind let the statute of limitations run out on the aspartame charges.
Huh.
This assistant, William Conlin, was hired 15 months later by G.D. Searle's law firm, Sidley & Austin.
Huh.
The common denominator for all of this, unfortunately, is money. And the amount of money that was flashed around induced people to drop the lawsuit against G.D. Searle and come work for the very firm that they were going to try for illegal activity. And that's what happened with the U.S. attorney. That's what happened with several people working for the Food and Drug Administration at that time. If they passed aspartame, literally, they were promised great jobs when they finished with FDA.
So there you go. I don't have time to do more of this again. It's called Aspartame Sweet Misery, a Poisoned World Movie. You can find it on YouTube, should you be interested, but I've played you enough. Your sensors should go off a little bit. Just to tell you real quickly how aspartame eventually became approved and got into our food supply, it was during the Reagan administration. Donald Rumsfeld was the CEO, I believe, of Searle. He was top executive with the Searle company that was at risk of being indicted by the federal government for lying and manipulating their studies on artificial sweeteners. But they weren't, because the FDA was bought and paid for, gave them cushy jobs to not prosecute them. Come 1981, Ronald Reagan moved in and Donald Rumsfeld was his chief of staff, and Donald Rumsfeld got his guy into the FDA. They fired everybody who was going to stand in the way of aspartame being approved, and this former CEO of G.D. Searle became a very powerful man, president's chief of staff in Washington, D.C., and he moved the players around in FDA to clear the way for this dangerous product, the one that the FDA was warning you about all through the 1970s. Now up to today, I read you a story from August 19th of 2022 where they go, oh my gosh, we need long-term studies on this. It appears these artificial sweeteners are causing diabetes. You know, it would be one thing if these things at least worked. I would still say they're not good for your health, but at least you lose weight, and they don't even work. They make you fatter. They cause diabetes, at least in enough people that they say that it merits long-term studies. Again, it's been on the market for 40 years. Now they're considering maybe some long-term studies on it. They don't work. They make you fatter and diabetic. So I don't know what to tell you. I was addicted to these things, too, in the early 2000s. I haven't had a diet soda since 2005. I promise you, I'm fine. I'm happy. I live every day. There's no sadness in my world now that diet sodas are gone. You can get to the other side if you really want to. These products, no good. And to that elderly gentleman who keeps putting in his coffee because he's diabetic, please watch this movie. Please, please. All right, that's about all the time I've got. I appreciate everybody joining me. Go out there and take control of your health, and I'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.